kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Oh man, alright, I'm gonna start recording.
Why?
So we could get this fucking show done?
No.
Well, we have to.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
I'm telling.
Okay, fine.
Paul!
I don't give a
being fun. A dick.
Just hang up on him. You're in the hole!
Just kick me out of chat.
Delete. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I don't know. I exist. I just tried to ban Jacob, but apparently there's a Twitch staff dude named Jacob, and it won't let me ban Jacob.
Oh.
I was hoping like it'd pop up in chat and say Eternal Rage has banned Jacob, and it would have been funny, but it fell apart on me, and now I'm just sad.
Yeah. Because Jacob Garner is here. bringing joy to the world.
My wife is calling me. I actually have to hop out of this.
You okay, son bye. Of a bitch. So, Cole, how are you doing?
I didn't die between the last show and this one. So, you know, hey.
Rupier. Yes. Sorry, Rupier. He will be back. He will be back. But for now, it's just us. He could take his other call. And whenever he comes back, I guess we'll start the news. But until then, anything fun happened to you? I know you always have something to talk about.
I really don't.
Oh, God damn. Someone.
Yeah, I came back. Yeah, my wife decided to interrupt the recording.
She doesn't want to talk to you.
So I had to do a Target run this evening, and she interrupted the recording of the podcast to find out whether or not I actually got white bread.
Did she just look for the bread?
Well, kind of, because the thing is that like I was in a hurry because I had to come here to record the podcast. So I only brought in all the refrigerated and frozen stuff, and also like an 8-pack of Gatorade for her, because she got the second Moderna. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah.
She got the second vaccine yesterday. The second shot of it.
Right in the realm of about to get fucked.
Well, she's already slept most of the day.
Yeah.
And smart. You know, a bunch of people were like, "Oh, well, you just need electrolytes or Gatorade," and she doesn't like Pedialyte, so Gatorade. So I brought in like an 8-pack of it for her and left it in the kitchen. But it was a good
talk.
Didn't
even put it in the fridge. What a shit.
We don't have space. We don't have space. Besides, she puts ice in everything.
Too much. What kind of drugs go in the fridge?
My Embro goes in the fridge. Yeah.
Brownies in there. Cooling in the fridge.
Why wouldn't they just cool in the open air?
Only people that have pets put their snacks like that in the fridge.
There you go.
we have to do that too, because Raven will eat any fucking thing you leave out on the counter.
We had turkey and turkey mashed potatoes and cream corn tonight, and we're sitting in here eating our dinner, and Ashley just looks at me and goes, "How much do you want to bet Pickle is just on the counter going nuts on that gravy spray right now?"
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, God. The thing was like dry when we went out there.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It happens. You cannot leave anything. We were just talking about this with David last night, too, because I had to order some medicine for Raven because his stomach's been acting wonky. And he's fine, just wonky stomach. And he was like, "Why is Raven, they all eat the same food?" I was like, "No, they fucking don't." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Gabe will only eat cat food that has fish in it. Castiel will only eat cat food and nothing else. He doesn't care what flavor, but he will only eat cat food. Raven is just like, that's a mighty fine looking turkey you've got there. I guess I'll consume it all." and does not care. Whatever is sitting still, Raven will try to eat. So, gee, why do I have to keep ordering stomach medicine for Raven, you ask? That motherfucker's not afraid to try to consume anything.
Speaking of not being afraid to consume everything in sight, Embracer Group is on a buying spree again.
Oh, jeez. What did they get this time?
How's that for a fucking segue?
Ham-fisted segue I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's been worse.
Ham-fisted.
Oh, come on.
This is awful.
Anya, what's ham?
No. Only a turkey would make that kind of comment.
Oh.
Then again, I guess I got some beef with Cole.
Where's Carnage? Seriously, where is Carnage? Oh, I think it's his birthday today. Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Carnage.
Happy birthday to one of our five regular listeners.
Yes.
Look, there were times.
Call just drop.
English, no, shut up. There were times we did not have five regular listeners. So we have improved.
Yeah. We do what we can.
Yeah.
The Embracer Group is on a buying spree again. They picked up four new studios.
Wow.
Could they just buy this podcast, please?
Maybe eventually.
They're like, here, we'll give you $5 to shut up.
they're not huge studios this time. They're more smaller and end of the spectrum. They picked up Appeal Studios, who made up of the original creators of Outcast from 1999. Massive Mini Team. They did Spitlings. That was a cute one. Frame Break, who are working on Farm Mech, which, Cole, it looks like something you'd probably play. It's farming mixed with mech battles.
Interesting.
Yeah. Massive Mini Team deals a lot in VR and AR stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting
acquisition.
And then the biggest one is Keiko, however you say it. They are the THQ port machine, the ones who have done Red Faction, Legend of K, Darksiders. Oh, yeah. Amalur. They're working on the new Amalur content, which I can't wait to see that this summer. But they are now officially all a part of Embracer Group. I think they're over like 60, 80 studios, something like that. I don't remember what I read online. I want to say 64 and I want to say in the 80s. So it's one of those two.
Oh, damn.
Either I'm way, impressed. It's a big number.
Yeah, that's a lot of studios.
There are more studios.
What are they gonna do with them?
Under Embracer Group than there are listeners to this show.
so they own six studios.
Oh, geez. It's that time. We got to talk about Game Pass.
Yay.
Yay. Psychonauts is on Game Pass now.
Okay. Oh, that, just like that.
No.
Yeah. On command. I snapped my fingers and it was right there.
So fancy.
And then news came out, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance will be hitting Xbox Game Pass on day one.
I didn't even know that was coming out. That's cool.
Yeah. I have a pre-order at GameStop because they have a steelbook.
Of course you do, you slut.
So I'm probably going to keep that for the steelbook. But at least I won't have to use the disc. It's like the show. I still bought the show, but I don't have to use the disc because it's in Game Pass.
Nobody buys this show.
A lot of people buy the show. That's a big reason why the show is on Xbox, because a lot of people buy the show. But yeah, Dark Alliance will be hitting Xbox Game Pass day one. Anyone else excited about that? Anyone else going to be picking that up?
About picking what up?
Dark Alliance, are you going to play it?
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to announce, you know, for me, what occurred earlier, or no?
What are you talking about?
Well, Jacob finally joined the current realm of modern day, and he's a member of Game Pass Ultimate.
Did you gift it to him? Because that's the only way I can imagine you got it.
Yeah. Yeah, something crazy happened. We asked about possibly reviewing Psychonauts on the show, and Microsoft is like, here's a year of Ultimate, and like, fuck it, Jacob needs Ultimate. We're always busting his balls to get on Ultimate, so now he's reviewing Psychonauts next week.
Yeah, so it was pretty bizarre, because initially I was just like, oh, wait a second, Joe, there's something wrong with this. This isn't a code for Psychonauts. It's a year of Game Pass Ultimate. What am I going to do with this?
You dipshit.
Because initially I was like, I didn't even hit redeem at first, because I was just like, oh, it's for Game Pass Ultimate. That's weird. I don't need this. So. Yeah.
We literally just talked about Psychonauts being on Game Pass.
Yep. So, I mean, on the plus side, this is apparently what Microsoft does when you want to get a review copy of something. They just toss you a year of Game Pass Ultimate.
No, they don't do that. They don't. You don't harass Microsoft.
Oh, that was actually my next plan. I was going to be like, hey, Joe, let's just request review copies for every single Microsoft game ever coming out, and then we'll be set for Game Pass Ultimate for life. It's a good plan. It's a good plan.
Instead, you should subscribe to Xbox Game Pass. It is only $15 a month.
I'm probably going to now.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep it.
You're going
to
get hooked on it. That's the part. That's the trick. Like, you get it, and then you're like, look at all these great games.
Oh my god, all the games on there.
Like, now you can play Dungeons and Dragons
Dark Alliance.
See, my thing is that I'm just like, because, like, my first question for Joe was just like, oh, do I actually still get a discount on stuff? Mm-hmm. So, apparently, I'm just going to get a discount on, like, Full Throttle and Day of the Tentacle and then just cancel Game Pass. So,
you idiot. You know. You're a schmuck. Anyway, Sony has stated that they expect PS5 shortages to last well into 2022. Yay.
Have they said what they're redesigning? Because they did say they were going to try to redesign the PlayStation to help with the shortages. Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about a redesign.
It wouldn't change the aesthetics of it, but that they were going to be making changes to it.
I didn't hear anything about that, but I did hear that the Nintendo Switch is also going to have... they've been saying for a while now that there is going to be shortages of it, but they've also now confirmed that that Suez Canal blockage that happened earlier this year, that has majorly affected Nintendo Switch. So,
yay! World news affected video games.
Well, and the worst part is, like, all that cargo is just sitting there on, I mean, I don't know whether it's actually on the ship or if it just got, you know, delayed because of the ship, but if it's sitting on the ship, that cargo is not going anywhere. Yeah. Because
they got that ship loose, though.
They did.
I know, but it's still sitting in Egypt. Like, it hasn't moved because the holding company for it refuses to pay, like, some ginormous fine. I think it's, like, $2 billion or something like that. And so, because the thing is, the ship that, or the company that owns it is also not the company that's responsible for all the cargo that's on it. And the company that's just, like, I don't remember which one of them it is, but essentially they're just flipping off the Egyptian government. And so... the boat is still, like, it's not stuck in the Suez Canal like it was, but it's still stuck in Egypt. And it's going to be there for, forever, however fucking long. So, that's exciting. Oh my god,
that's beautiful. Well, yeah, Switch shortages, PS5 shortages. There's been no official word, but I'm sure Microsoft is like, hey, we have shortages too. Pay attention to us, stop looking at Sony. Sony is just destroying it with the PS5 so far in terms of sales. Like, they're flying off the shelf faster than they could get them on. So they're doing something right. And they are also releasing red and black controllers next month. So if you've been waiting for something that didn't look as stupid as the white and black scheme they have, I thought the red one looked great.
I haven't seen pictures of any of them.
Well,
it does look pretty cool.
Maybe I don't want
to. The black one is how the system should have looked to begin with, and the red one looks like a cool alternate color. And the white would have been a cool alternate color, not the main color of the system. Oh my god, The PS5 is such an ugly system. It is so ugly.
Wait a second.
It is so big and ugly. Oh.
Huh.
What?
I just realized that, like, because I now have Game Pass Ultimate, I can get that, like, FIFA, like, punch card that's out there, because all you have to do is just download the game and play it once. Huh. Fancy.
Focus on the goddamn show.
I'm announcing news. I mean, there's a FIFA 21 card on Game Pass Ultimate. Very fancy. You have 19 days left. You're like, this was the worst decision to give you anything.
It was. So, some more news that you'll like, Jacob. Lost Judgment was officially announced by Sega for worldwide release on September 24th for PS4, PS5, Series X and S, and just for you, Jacob, Xbox One. Despite the website source code having information for Steam, Sega insists that a PC version is not in the works.
I don't believe that. Because it looks like, you know, the Yakuza series has been doing very well on PC. Like, I'd be very surprised that, like, they're not going to have a PC port.
No. I'm sure there's some kind of contractual reason they can't confirm it yet. Maybe something with Stadia. Who knows?
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be something if they... it's a Stadia exclusive release. Sorry, guys.
Speaking of Stadia, Google insists that it's still alive and well. I don't know how much I believe that.
They lost their VP and head of product.
Who was that again?
Phil Harrison.
Oh, Phil Harrison.
And
Phil Harrison.
Phil Harrison and John Justice.
That's a good name.
It sounds like a comic book hero.
It does. It's a pretty solid name. Phil Harrison, he's been a part of a lot of companies. And yep. a lot of bad times for companies too.
A Bloomberg report from February revealed that the service missed Google's internal sales estimate by hundreds of thousands.
Oh, poor guy. They'll get it. I believe in him. Keep your chin up, kids.
And apparently this John Justice fellow, the last time he was seen plugging the Stadia was for The Escapist back in December.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, other news, WWE's Rob Van Dam is DLC for the Mean Greens Plastic Warfare.
I'm sorry, what?
Rob Van Dam, WWE superstar, Rob Van Dam.
Why is he in there?
Why the fuck not?
I mean, it kind of feels like, oh, crap. World of Warships just announced, like, Godzilla versus King Kong DLC. And then there was another game, too, that I just saw that's having it come out this week. And I was just, both games don't make sense at all.
And then Activision announced Rambo's coming to Cold War in Warzone.
All right, that makes sense, though.
Yeah, but still, all these crossovers. That fucking RVD and the Mean Green, like, I guess when it comes to green things, RVD is pretty well known. It's a pot joke.
Oh.
Ah, yeah.
Oh. What,
I don't get it.
What's pot?
Disney and Dotemu are teaming up to release Zombies Ate My Neighbors and Ghoul Patrol on Xbox, Switch, PlayStation, and PC on June 29th for $15. Limited Run will also be doing a physical release.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cole, any thoughts on that?
No.
You've said nothing tonight.
I know. I'm just, you guys started talking about wrestler people dudes, and I was like, okay.
Wrestler people dudes.
I checked out. You kind of lost me there.
Tonight on WrestleCast, we've discussed wrestler people dudes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where's Tim? We need him here.
Okay.
505 Games announced that Ghost Runner 2 is in the works for PS5, Series X and S, and PC. So no word on last gen release, but new gen is getting it. I just picked up the original Ghost Runner 2. It's on sale for $15, so I'm looking to check that out.
Oh, is this a stealth game or what?
I don't, Cole, do you know much about Ghost Runner?
It's like, think of Mirror's Edge, but more high impact and high speed. It's okay. Basically like, you know how in Mirror's Edge you had to do the parkour and plot your path and all that?
Right.
It's that, but with zero forgiveness.
Ooh.
Yeah, oh. It's really
I was about to ask if it's a roguelite or something.
No, it's not. I thought it was going to be, but it's not. You have checkpoints and stuff, but like it's basically wall run, leap, do a quick kill before they spot you type of thing, and one hit, you're dead, do it again.
Wait, Joe, did you say anything about the original game?
Yeah, it's on sale for $15.
Okay, because they're also upgrading it.
Or Series X and PS5?
I'm trying to find that out right now.
I know they announced that they hit 600,000 units sold, so that's pretty cool.
But it was so, like, wanted it, but I was also afraid to play it because of how difficult it was, that I didn't think it would be accessible enough, so I passed it.
It's going to be a current-gen upgrade. If you already own it for Xbox One or PlayStation 4, you will get an upgrade to the game for free. Apparently 505 Games is eager to not have the shit show that was Control happen again.
Learning lessons, at least for right now.
Now, if only some of those other companies would, who is it, Milestone? Are they the ones who keep doing this whole, and Nacon?
Mm-hmm.
They're bad with it, too. Come on, do the smart delivery, people.
I do wish more developers would make use of it.
Anyway, last bit of news that I have. I didn't have much this week. Sega has commented that they're considering reboots on a number of franchises based on a PR slideshow that showed current IPs that they need to work on and past IPs that they're going to look into doing reboots or remasters, maybe farming it out to other companies like they've done with Panzer Dragoon, Streets of Rage, but other games that were mentioned were Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, Knights, Space Channel 5, Rez, Shinobi, Virtua Fighter, Altered Beast, House of the Dead, and Soul Hackers.
Okay.
So it would be awesome to see Sega dive back into a bunch of those franchises. It's insane how many franchises Sega has that they are just sitting on and doing nothing with.
Well, I mean, part of it, I think, has to do with like whether or not there's anything coming out with it, because there's been like they've been talking about making a Crazy Taxi movie since like 2005. Like it's just like it keeps like being punted over to different studios and stuff like that.
I can't wait for The Rock and Kevin Hart to star in Crazy Taxi.
I forget who the heck was originally attached to it, but it was like a high profile director. That's an actor. I'm talking about directors. Like,
well, I was thinking Jason Statham before you said director.
But I mean, there's always like demand for a Jet Set Radio. I mean, you see it on Twitter, like people are asking about it. And then like you get games like Hover and then, what's that other game that's coming out soon? It's cel shaded and everyone's just like, oh, we're just going to treat this like Jet Set
Radio. Oh, I forget the name, but don't they have the original composer working on it as well?
They might be. God, that would be great. I've seen screenshots of it and it looks pretty great. Like I'm definitely looking at picking it up, whatever the fuck it is. But
I mean, Streets of Rage 4 did really well.
Yep.
We already mentioned Panzer Dragoon, the remake did really well. Rez Infinite on PlayStation VR. Like that's a standout title. If you own VR, you need to own Rez. That's like one of those must owns now. But, yeah, that's the news I got. Cole, anything on your end?
No, I don't have anything.
Helpful.
I already brought up the, I know, well, I already brought up the PlayStation rumor for the redesign, so I wasn't all lost.
What about you, Jacob? I know you usually have a couple of tidbits.
So NPR had an interesting piece yesterday about the new Oregon Trail game.
Oh, geez.
That came out for,
I did see that.
Yeah, it's coming out for iPhone. It may already be out, actually. But the company that did this relaunch of it, which is Gameloft, they're an Australian company, and they initially had started building it, and then they were like, you know, we should really get an actual historical perspective on it. And they brought in a few Native American historians to work on it with them and tell them, like, you know, this is what you should actually be having in there. This is a stereotype. And so gone is like the broken English from previous games, or, you know, like music types that, you know, you, like drums and flutes, they're gone. Or just even something like bows and arrows being everywhere, because historians explain, like, you know, if you were a Native American trapper up in the Oregon area at the time, you more than likely had a rifle, not a bow and arrow. So it's a really interesting read. I highly recommend checking it out. You know, hopefully I can get my hands on this game, so I could do that. Top of that, Twitch has now made it easier for people to get DMCA strikes against each other.
Cool.
Yeah, and the best part is that you have to have a Twitch account to be able to use this stuff, which means it's most likely going to be users firing off false DMCA strikes against each other.
Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And final bit of news, GitHub has restored a reverse engineered GTA code following a DMCA counter notice. So what it essentially was is that there's this project out there, fan-made, called RE3, which requires you to... Sorry, I'm burping a lot for some reason. It actually requires you to own the Grand Theft Auto games, but everything was reverse engineered in it. So there's a bunch of tweaks and modifications made to make the games way more playable on modern computers, because Rockstar essentially hasn't touched the games in like 20 years. So then Take-Two got pissy about it, issued a notice, and took it down. And then the people who were in charge of this fan project actually took it to court, and they won.
Cool. That is awesome.
So,
one for the gamers there.
Yay. So, that's pretty much all the news I got.
Man, slow week.
Yeah, well, I mean, you actually covered most of it, so.
Yeah.
You know, good
job. Other news, my cats are about to fight, so I can't wait for that to be picked up on microphone.
I thought you were about to say that they're about to fuck. So
no, they're about
to
fight.
That's better.
I just hear hissing and growling behind me, and I can't wait for the... I can't wait. I'm just... It's going to happen. So should we get to reviews then?
Go Cole? For it.
Yeah, I guess.
Man, we're just zipping through this episode. All right. First game to talk about.
Get done, Joel.
I thought you'd want to, like, talk more and converse about the week and news, and you're just like, fuck all y'all.
Not when Jacob's here. I'm just like...
All right, well, first game to talk about tonight is called Hood Outlaws and Legends, developed by Sumo Digital, published by Focus Home Interactive, released May 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99, in a violent medieval world outplay rival gangs in real intense PvPvE multiplayer heists, moving in stealth and steal treasure unseen or dominating through loud and brutal combat. Only the best will escape with hard-earned riches. Paul, tell us about your time with Hood Outlaws and Legends.
Hood is undeniably a gorgeous game. There's absolutely nothing you can say about the way this game looks. There were moments while we were playing it that I would just sit and be like, look at the way the light bounces around. Everything is so pretty. And I took a bunch of screenshots because that's the kind of shit that I do. And meanwhile, the rest of my team's like, hey, dumbass, would you like to shoot the guard since you're the archer? And I'd be like, no, 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 but look at how the light reflects off his helmet. And then it came to blows that I realized that the way the developers want you to play Hood and the way I want to play Hood are very much at odds with each other. The whole point of the game is that it is a stealth, I don't want to say action game. It is technically, I guess, an action game, but it's a stealth-driven game with a little bit of strategy thrown in for good measure, where you play as a group of four, and your goal is to steal a chest that is in a vault and to extract it back and get the gold for yourself. Now, when I play a game like this, I like to play PvE. I don't like dealing with fucking other people because other people are assholes. And so when I was playing, I just would play number one and I, sometimes D would join on the other Xbox. We would just go into training and
yeah, because there's play. Two modes. There's heist and there's training. Training is PvE.
Yeah.
Heist is PvPvE.
There's a whole nother team fucking your shit up.
It's 4-on-4 versus the state.
So I very much just wanted to play PvE. I wanted to be in the world and explore it and take down the state and succeed. First off, you're not doing that without a full team. I don't care how hard you try. There were times we played with the three of us, and we still never once beat a single training mission with easy AI.
Ease.
It does not want you to play that way. If you're playing a normal heist, then you are thrown in as a group of four. We were able to search for somebody else to play with us. The net code was solid. We didn't have any issues with lags or disconnects. Everything worked flawlessly. I was really impressed. But you have other teams going, another team going against you and sabotaging your efforts. And if you're not the kind of player who wants to deal with that, then, and you just want to focus on being able to enjoy the stealthy aspect, because when you throw the other team in, no matter what you're trying to do, the game, no matter how stealthy you're trying to create this game as and how you're trying to sell it as a stealth game, it just turns into a brawl, right? And it just boils down to whoever can kill the most is going to succeed. That kind of takes the planning and strategy and stealth elements out of it for me, and that's where I lose it. At least there is the training mode, and we were perfectly content to play that over and over. But you don't actually make progress with your character and stuff in training. So
I'm not a fan when games do that. Like,
you can't unlock all the extra good stuff. You don't level up any. You don't get the additional perks. You can't level up your base, your outpost or whatever. It's just, well, you did it or you didn't. Good luck.
And GG, that's that. Or you died. LOL.
Yeah. Okay, and there is no satisfaction for playing at all. Like, you can put an hour or more into the game, just, you know, and you need to play the training, because if you just go straight into playing a normal heist, you're gonna get fucked up. There's just already people who know the maps, who have put in the time. Nothing you can do can change that. So you're either resigned to lose a million times for a little bit of XP, or play the training, learn the maps, and get no satisfaction for it. Either way, the game is kind of just against you.
No.
I feel like this is a thing where if they had done a game preview, early access type situation, somebody would have brought that up before now. But instead, they're like, here's our full-ass game. It looks pretty. It's a cool concept. You're not making any progress, though. And that zaps it for me.
Yeah, if you're not someone who likes playing against other people, your money should be spent elsewhere.
And that's a shame, because I think there's so much good. There are so many maps and so many different spawn points and so many different ways to play them. And even though the goal is almost always the same of steal the key and get the chest and get it out, everything just kind of fights against you enjoying the game that way. It's just either you're bashing it out against other players or you're not doing shit. And that's a shame.
No. Well, it is $29.99. What do you think of Hood, Outlaws, and Legends?
I did think it was more expensive than that. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Drop it, bitch!
No time for games. Thank you for cheering 50 biddies. Hugs to you.
Yay. I am going to go with a recommended try. Like I said, it's gorgeous. It plays well. $30, and we didn't have any trouble with servers or disconnects. It was easy enough to find people to play with. I just wish they would make it a little more accessible.
I would love to see more focus put on an offline mode where it's you, well, not offline, but single player mode.
At least let you benefit from training.
Or PvE mode. I can't word.
If you could at least play the custom games and still benefit from it. And I know they're probably thinking, oh, well, we don't want people just doing that and cheesing and getting XP and then being able to mow people over in the regular modes. But the new players in this kind of game, unless you're using skill-based matchmaking, they're going to bowl over the new players anyway. So yeah. You might as well give the new players a respite where they can go play the training and get some perks and stuff before they go get their shit handed to them.
Makes sense. I would say if you are not a fan of PvP games at all, you should just avoid this game completely.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's no other way to put it. Like, I'm not a big fan of PvP, so I don't know how much I will play. Like, I want to play the training modes with you and just go through these and have fun. But I don't want to do any of the actual heists because I don't want to deal with other players.
Please tell me you are good at using one of the melee characters, too, because both number one and I are devout stealth. And playing that alone, that's another thing that kind of got me. Like, you cannot complete a training or a heist if you are just devout stealth. You have to have somebody on the team that can brawl out for you and tank it, because
yeah, I'll be John.
You can't the end, when at the end of a heist, when you get the chest to the extraction point, somebody has to winch it up and somebody has to protect them. Well, If you have a character who's playing as Marianne, they're literally useless for combat, which also is a whole nother thing that pisses me off. That's, of course, the female character is useless for combat. She's wonderful.
Of course, the big fat guy is the brawler.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, she's a wonderful character in every other regard, but they made her absolutely just a liability for hands-on combat, and that's kind of a pain in the ass. You know, it's if you're playing with the two primarily stealth characters and you're trying to extract and you don't have somebody to protect you from the full-on heavy armed guards and sheriffs, you're just immediately fucked and you're not getting anything out. Yeah. No matter what you do.
Oh, well, shifting gears, next game to talk about is called Beach Buggy Racing 2 Island Adventure Hot Wheels Booster Pack. Developed and published by Vector Unit, released May 12th for Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $9.99. Turbocharge your game with the Hot Wheels Booster Pack, an exciting new content expansion for Beach Buggy Racing 2 Island Adventure. Challenge accepted. Jacob, tell us about your time with the Hot Wheels Booster Pack.
So with this, you get a string of new Hot Wheels inspired cars, you can't hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because for some reason, my call quality keeps going down. So you have a bunch of them to play with now. So you get two when you unlock, or sorry, two when you download the DLC, and then as you win certain races, you get to unlock more stuff. Sorry, more cars. And first off, they look nice. They look inspired. And they look great alongside all the other cars that you've unlocked thus far in the game. But, of course, the real big part of this is the tracks. And when I first, like, when I first heard about this DLC for it, my mind initially went to the Forza Horizon 3. I don't know which game we're on. So,
we're on 4, but that has Lego.
Right. Which I've heard sucks.
And 5 doesn't exist yet. No, Lego's fantastic.
Really? I'd heard bad. Anyway, we're not reviewing it. Right. Stop sidetracking me for once.
How do you like it?
It was okay, I guess.
Anyway. Hot Wheels. Beach Buggy Race.
Initially, my thoughts went to like the big Hot Wheels Island that you saw in Forza Horizon 3. And how, you know, just how big and how massive that was. And, you know, it just felt like a big, like, Hot Wheels track. So, I was kind of curious as to what Vector Unit was going to do with this, and needless to say, they did not disappoint. Now, the tracks are about the same size as the ones you're already getting in Beach Buggy Racing 2, but they are far more detailed. They are beautiful. And it's just like, there's all these, like, twists and turns that you're just, like, you just don't get. And of course, obviously the loops, which, you know, are standard with the Hot Wheels stuff, that you just don't get in the other tracks. And it's just, Vector Unit really went all out on this. And I'm really impressed by it. Like there's a good variety with it. Everything looks beautiful, which of course, like every single time I'd review a Vector Unit thing, I always gush about how good the backgrounds look, how detailed everything is. For once, and this is legit my only complaint about it. For once, I found the tracks themselves to be too distracting, and I ended up finding myself looking at the backgrounds of the stadiums of like all the buildings that they had on all the tracks instead of actually looking at the track. And so I was constantly going out of bounds and stuff like that on the tracks. I was about to say at first, but that's a complete lie. I'm still doing it. but you know, because it is very visually different than the other tracks on there, and it's just you could tell Vector Unit really took their time with it. They went balls out on this thing. It's really well done. I'm really impressed. Hopefully, you don't get nearly as distracted as me, but it is a very welcome addition to Beach Buggy Racing. Beach Buggy Adventure Racing.
Nope. Two? Try again.
Nope. Damn it.
Go ahead.
Beach Keep Buggy.
Go ahead.
Beach Buggy Racing 2. It's Island Adventure. That's right. I'm just like, why is this title not coming together? Because I know that
it's not Mousebot 2. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, see, I was actually gonna go through this review without bringing up Mousebot 2. But now you did. So now that Vector Unit is done making this, obviously, they can now devote their time to making Mousebot 2. So, everyone buy this. It looks great. You'll support Vector Unit. And my hopes is that if you support this, it means that Vector Unit will make Mousebot 2. All purchases for Vector Unit stuff leads to that in my head. So,
well, if you're seriously focused on actual game content, you do get the 4 new race environments, the 4 new tracks. You get 7 Hot Wheels cars that you can unlock through the game. It starts you off with 2, and you have to earn the other 5. And then if you're really up for a challenge on the 1,000 horsepower tracks, you can collect 27 different challenge medallions.
Yeah, I saw the achievements for this thing, and they are as ridiculous as the other ones for this game. So if you're an achievement hunter, you'll have some really interesting ones to go after this time. But I believe it's $10 for this DLC. Yep. Totally worth it. Absolutely worth it. Highly recommend it.
Cool beans. All right. Next up is called Flowing Lights, developed and published by Gafomni. It's game and fun, but it's the word game with fun in between the G-A-M-E. It makes sense when you look at it. Released May 7th on Xbox One, Switch, and Steam for $9.99. Flowing Lights is an arcade puzzle shooter. Each fight is a puzzle. Attack and fail. Think back. Try again. Got it. Improve with each try. There is always a smarter way to win. Jacob, tell us about your time with Flowing Lights.
Oh, my God. So, this game is interesting because I actually requested it from Joe back right after I'd gotten my second Pfizer vaccine. And then, interestingly enough, he gives me the code and I'm just like, what's this?
You idiot.
I'm watching it. I'm just like, this looks a lot different than what I recall. So anyways, what Flowing Lights is it's pretty much like a Tempest kind of game, except you have 3D environments that you have to shoot like your little laser gun off of and around, and you really have to like start. It's almost like golf, like almost like a mini. It's mini golf with lasers when you really think about it. And so you have to go through a level, which is keeps getting divided up into these like little quadrant areas. And there's enemies that you have to defeat on each one. And like, there's all these like little obstacles in the way, whether it's like a wall or if it's a hill or if it's like a sinkhole or something like that. And you have to use, I mean, of course you can move up and down, through the level. However, you also have to aim your shots correctly, because the enemies have these like long ass laser blasts that, you know, go almost the length of the area, the section that you're in. And so you'll have to like start learning how to aim your shots to go around a hill or like angle off of a hill, or even, you know, there's sometimes where you're just like, I'm not going to be able to shoot the enemy out. However, if I can knock them into the little sinkhole thing, then the game counts that as a win. And so it gets really creative and really frustrating. It's one of those games where it's like, it's easy to play, difficult to master. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, the visuals aren't, they're not anything to get excited about. It's, as I said, it's
I like the visuals. I think it's a really cool style, and I really like the way the physics work in the game. I watched Carnage play this. He was streaming it, and the dev was actually in chat watching Carnage play. And Carnage, being him, would brute force some levels and just break the game, and the dev was just loving it in chat. So the devs are really cool with this one. And I want to pick this up myself. I haven't had the time yet.
It's pretty fun. I mean, as I said, like, it's a Tempest-like game. If you want to think of it, it's Tempest mini golf, with how you're supposed to, you know, with how you're supposed to aim your shots and stuff like that. I'm now actually really interested in seeing how Carnage was playing it, because I could probably learn a thing or two from it. but my only complaint about the game is that as you move through the sections, you're going to die a lot, like a lot. And the thing is that when you respawn, you respawn with however much life you had when you first entered in that section. So if you only had one heart, you now have to figure out how to get past that section with only one heart. Like, that is, this is what you're going to be dealing with for the rest of time. Does it make it challenging? Yes. But if you're not looking for a challenge in that area, it gets really frustrating, and I can see a lot of people quitting and never picking it back up. This is one of those
games that grades you too. So like, I'll be getting the B and C ranks, and
Carnage was getting like S ranks on friggin' everything.
Of course. And the thing is that those grades are is pretty much the only way that you get extra health. So if you like, if you're constantly getting C's, you're going to be stuck with one heart for the rest of your life, or for the rest of the time playing that game. So as I said,
the rest of your life until you die.
All right, shut up. You know what I meant. Anyway, as I said, it's easy to play, difficult to master. I mean, personally, I'd recommend buying it, but I mean, I can see that there would be a definite subset of like for try it.
This seems like one of those games where if you're looking for a challenge, it'll scratch that itch big time.
Right. Yeah.
So $10, your official verdict.
$10, my official verdict is buy it. Like I enjoyed it. It's definitely worth the $10. As I said, I can see that there being a subset of people who like would just want to like chill out with this game, and this isn't exactly a game to chill to. It looks like it will be, but it's not. So buyer beware of that end.
Yeah, this is not a chill experience. This is fast-paced. You got to move your ass and plan.
Throw your controller at the screen.
No, the wall, not the screen, the wall. If you're going to break something, don't let it be a $600 TV.
Well, see, that's why you get the $100 Walmart special on Black Friday.
Ugh. Fair. All right, next up is Infestor, developed by Wobblyware, published by Rattlelake Games. Released May 7th on Xbox One Series X, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $4.99. Infest your enemies and use their skills to complete the levels in this puzzle platformer. Jacob, tell us about Infestor.
So you play as this little, like, Half-Life headcrab-looking thing, and it's a fairly straightforward game. Now, there are different classes of people that you have to, you know, jump on their head and eventually make their bodies explode. Like, there are just generic worker guys who can push boxes and stuff like that. There's people who can jump really high. There's people who have, like, key cards to get into certain areas. There's also security guys who shoot things. So, pretty much, the game, like, holds your hand with you as you walk through these different levels. And of course you have to avoid different things like spikes, automated guns, robots, all that kind of stuff. And you're going to die a couple of times as you try to figure out how a level exactly works, but it's a fairly easy game. I managed to get 1,000 out of 1,000 within just under 2 hours. There's 60 levels total, and it's not 70. A particular, oh, it's 70. Okay. Yep. Sorry. Once I got the 1,000, I think I played like a couple more levels and I had to stop cause it was like 2 in the morning, but, but anyway, it is not a particularly taxing game. I mean, there's a couple of levels towards the, for some reason, I feel like it was 53 or 57, but it was just like, I remember there was one digit where it's like, if the level ended on that digit, it was a complete bitch. And I ended up like dying like 10 or 15 times. And so it's just like, I would start looking at the level numbers. I'd be like, oh, great. But as I said, it's not particularly taxing. It's easy to move through. It's a nice chill game. And
it's from Wobblyware. I love Wobblyware. Like, they've done Omega Strike. They've done Devious Dungeon.
Okay, I remember
Gravity Duck.
That was a good one.
League of Evil. Like, I love their games. They're just nice, small, cool, little, easy. Not all easy, but they're just really cool, small experiences. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Wobblyware is quality when it comes to these smaller, cheaper games. And whenever I see Wobblyware, I know I'm in for a good time. I had fun with this one. I got my 1,000 on it as well. No Time reminded me of the whole punch card going on. We could have talked about this during the news, but the the Microsoft Rewards punch card is going on. If you are a Microsoft Rewards member, check the Rewards app on your console and activate your punch card.
Unlike Joe.
Unlike me, who played through Infestor as well as a handful of Zetalon games on Windows 10 and forgot to activate his fucking punch card.
Yay! Go, Joe.
Yay! That's like 5,000 points I missed out on because I'm a stupid idiot. And Cole's not chiming in at all.
Nope. I remember to hit my punch card.
But yeah, Infestor, really, really cool game. I had fun with this one as well. It's $5. Jacob, what do you think?
Totally worth it. Yeah, I highly recommend picking it up. And if you're really concerned about getting that 10,000 points in Microsoft Rewards, this is an easy way to get 1,000 of them. So, all the more reason to get it.
And it's a fun game.
Well, yeah, I mean, we covered that part.
Yeah. All right, well, that is it for you, Jacob. We will let you get going.
Yay.
Yeah. Cole, do you have any final words for Jacob?
Fuck out of here.
Jacob, do you have any final words for Cole?
Don't have to fucking tell me twice.
All right, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Kursk, developed by Storm Trident, published by Forever Entertainment, released May 7th on Xbox One for $19.99. You assume the role of a spy who finds ways on the Russian nuclear submarine K-141 Kursk. Your task is to collect secret information about the revolutionary Shkval super captivating torpedoes. While trying to complete your mission, you become witness to the dramatic events which shook the world at that time. Cole, tell us about your time with Kursk.
This is the first time in a long time I've not been able to finish a game because it triggered motion sickness so severe that I couldn't beat it.
So I should avoid this one.
You should definitely not touch this with a 10-foot pole and somebody else's controller. It is really harsh if you struggle with motion sickness. Also a lot of flashing lights, so Aki shouldn't fuck with it either. Nice. The concept is basically that you are playing as a spy who is infiltrating a Russian submarine that is carrying a special new mission a missile type that Russia is trying to sell to China. And you're supposed to be getting information about these missiles. But there was the submarine was an actual real life boat submarine that sank. And the initial disaster did not kill everybody on board, but nobody went to save the 23 survivors, and they eventually perished. But the game is actually a telling of one of those characters through their eyes. Did I lose internet?
No.
Okay, the stream just crashed.
Hmm.
Okay, all's good. I got worried. I was like, oh no.
Hey, there's Carnage. Happy birthday, Carnage.
Happy birthday. So yeah, the game is played through the eyes of the spy who is on this boat and does not perish in the initial disaster and is continuing on as they are all waiting for help that never comes. None of that's a spoiler because it all tells you that in the opening sequence. So, for the most part, Kursk's gameplay is just a step or two above being a walking simulator. I'm okay with that. I don't mind walking sims. I don't mind light puzzles. I'm 100% on board with just being there for the story in a game.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any problems with that. There are a couple of small, like I said, little puzzle sequences. Interestingly enough, there was a part where I needed a combination for a safe. Couldn't think of the word. A combination for a safe, And instead of having me like full on needing to remember or look for clues, they just tell you the combination. And then when you find the safe, the guy punches it in and you're just there for the ride. So there were certainly a few moments where they could have tweaked it to be a little more gamey. But again, I didn't mind. I wasn't upset about it.
Aki, you all do realize my birthday was yesterday, right? Was it? Happy birthday. Holy shit.
Happy belated birthday.
I didn't know.
No.
Tell us this shit.
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm bad with birthdays. Unless you full on go, hey, my birthday is today. I'm like, oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I rely on Facebook for everything. I don't know my sister's birthday. I'll be honest, I don't know it.
But I don't want to like rip into Kursk and say it's not a good looking game or anything. I think it's fine. It does kind of strike me as that it looks like a 360 game at times, right? Especially with the character models. There was one particular segment where there were these like military NPCs. It was just the same character copy and pasted in different places around the map. They all looked identical. They all spoke identical. And I was just like, is it the same guy just teleporting around? But no, there was one guard that was walking in a circle. So it's not... There are moments where I'm like, wow, this looks surprisingly good. And then there are moments where you're like, wow, that looks really bad. It's kind of, it's hit or miss. The environment's great. Shout out to the environment artist. But the actual character models are a little rough around the edges.
So what in the game triggered your motion sickness?
You can't turn off head wobble and it's first person. And you're on a boat.
Does the boat rock the whole time too?
I mean, it's a submarine, so yeah, it's kind of wobbly, and so it's pretty harsh. And then, like I said, the opening sequence, like most of your interaction with things in the world is like, oh, you look at it and there's a white dot, and you pull right trigger, and it does whatever it needed to do, and that's the majority of your interactions. Like I said, every now and then you got like a PDA type thing that you can pick a lock or whatever, but the majority of it is just like look at thing, press right trigger, animation occurs. But the very opening sequence, because it uses like this chopped time kind of storytelling, which I'm fine with. It uses like this chopped time storytelling where the opening sequence already has you on the boat during the disaster, and then you get a scene where it's pre-disaster and you're finding out you're a spy and everything.
Are they Tarantino that shit?
Yeah. They did a good job with it. I thought they did a really good job with the story itself, with the writing. Even the dialogue was fine. It was just that, you know, it kind of looks a little rough around the edges. But the opening sequence right after the event occurs, you're trapped in this room and there's smoke coming in, and you're expected to already know what you need to interact with and stuff. Even though everything's on the floor, I got a game over just fucking immediately because I didn't know I needed to pick up a staple gun and a piece of cardboard off the floor to cover up a vent to prevent smoke from coming in. Like, in my head, I'm like, I picked up the staple gun and I was like, okay, if I need to stop smoke from coming in, there's curtains. Can I interact with the curtains? Are there, like, can I take a sheet or a blanket or something off the bed and staple those up there? Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought to look for a piece of cardboard. It's just that when I went back the second time after I died and had to do it again, I went to pick up the staple gun and it was in a different place and the cardboard was there instead. And then I was like, oh, now I get it, you know? So that was the lack of any kind of like guidance or pointing things out that you need to interact with, other than there being the little white dot. If you're in a room where the light is flashing and the screen is shaking, you're not going to see the little white dot very easily. Which then leads me to my other complaint. The checkpoints are few and far between. And you are going to fail pretty much everything the first time you try to do it. I mentioned, it doesn't feel spoilery since I already mentioned it. I mentioned that there was the guard walking around and your PDA little thing can lockpick, right? You have to keep climbing in and out of the truck when that guard can't see you. And then when he's getting close, you have no indication he's getting close to you. You have no indication on the screen that he can see you. You're just standing there lockpicking, right? And then you're like, oh. And then it goes, hey, you're not supposed to be in there. And I'm like, I didn't even know you could see me. I've moved shit around in this truck. There's a curtain. How'd you know I was here? So there's not like, there needs to be some kind of like a vibration in the controller or some kind of indicator that, hey, your ass is about to get caught if you don't straighten up. Right. But there's not. And so then I was like, okay, I got caught. I got a game over screen. Go to the checkpoint. The checkpoint was all the way back at the motherfucking beginning, and I had to go through the whole sequence of sitting in the car ride, having the identification check. I had to watch that whole segment all over again. It was like 15 minutes.
Jeez.
And every time you fuck up, you gotta do it again. So we could use some better checkpoints here. I know I'm ragging on the game. I don't hate it. Like I said, storytelling's great. The direction is great. The voice acting was great. There's a lot of good here, but there's a lot of quality of life bad too. So if there were improvements made with, you know, a more forgiving checkpoint system or the ability to skip cutscenes that you've already seen, those things would be really nice to have. Some more indications. I figured out finally that like there's a tiny little audio clue you can kind of hear of like his footsteps getting closer, but if you're like me and you don't hear well, you need some kind of visual indicator that there's trouble coming toward you. There's just a few things they could do, plus the ability to turn off the fucking head wobble, cause fuck. I hate when I get sick just from trying to walk in a game. It takes a lot to actually trigger my motion sickness that bad, but Curse got me. It got me pretty good.
Well, it's $20. What is your official verdict on Curse?
I'm going to go with a try it. Because like I said, I really like the story. And I'd really like to be able to like fully finish it and see it all. But I would like to see some quality of life stuff too.
Yeah.
Accessibility, namely.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe, developed and published by Diavecchi Studios, released May 4th on Xbox One and PS4 for $11.99. Add local radio host Poe and Monroe through 6 TV-like episodes of supernatural strangeness and sizzling on-screen chemistry. Cole, tell us about your time with Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe on console.
I fucking love Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe. It's so overwhelmingly FMV cheesy goodness with just the right amount of snark and light horror that you can't help but fall in love with it. The actors are fantastic. The character or the actor that plays Poe fucking hated him in Shapeshifting Detective, and you're supposed to. And that same smarmy, just God, I really don't like you. He pulls it off incredibly well in Poe and Monroe as well. Even though he's got to take full, you know, center stage with it here, he just really keeps up with it. Stays in the character. He's just this smarmy jackass that you want to hate. Likewise, the actress for Monroe, she's charming and delightful, but also maybe a little sneaky sinister, depending on your choices. I will say, God damn if I'm not a creature of habit. I didn't think I was. But I kept telling myself, I was like, here's my opportunity to see the different endings that I missed out when I played it on PC, right?
You got the same endings?
I fucking did everything the same. I would click something and then I go, I know I've already done that. Why did I instinctively push that button?
Proud of you.
Oh, you're playing this again. Are you going to see the other endings? I was like, no, because I keep clicking the same shit out of habit. I will never know what other stuff happens. Like, you can kind of guess what the potential is. Although, I don't care if there's an achievement for doing the alternative to the part where you get to kick Poe in the nuts. I will always choose to kick Poe in the second episode. Because you can, and you should.
Fair.
So, yeah. I love it. I just... The production quality is so good. The cinematography, everything about it, it's just got the right balance of cheese and creepy, and I can't be mad at this game. I will say that they do need to do a little bit of patching. I was having an issue, and the PC version did the same thing. They eventually patched it, but even though I turned the timers off, the timers would still count down. So I'm not surprised that that's an issue again. It's probably going to have to just be patched again. But I was having an issue I did not have on PC, and that was on Xbox. Sometimes you would click for a certain interaction, and then there would be this like weird ghost version of the interact icon would show up beside of it with an X over it. And I have no idea what was happening because the event would carry out anyway. But it was just this weird pop-up glitch that was happening. So there's a couple little things they could work on. But overall, I'm not mad. I'm so glad this is finally on Xbox. And I just really, really love it. It is an anthology type of series, though. So you're not going to get one cohesive storyline throughout the whole thing. The overarching connection is basically Poe and Monroe's relationship. Fuck Poe, though. God damn him. So there is still that element there. But the actual, like, plot to each episode is usually something unrelated. And that gave them the freedom to tell some really cool stories and just shake things up a lot.
Oh, well, it is $12 on console. What do you say?
Stop listening to me and buy it. Just buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. One final game to talk about tonight is a preview of Ultimate Fishing Simulator 2. We got a demo of it developed by Master Code, published by Ultimate Games. The demo released May 10th on Steam for free, and early access is planned for later on in 2021. The most comprehensive fishing game of all time. Immerse yourself in the virtual world of fishing and test yourself in the fishing technique of your choice. Feeder, fly fishing, spinning, or classic float fishing, the choice is yours. Cole, this sounds like a fisherman's wet dream. Literal wet, huh? Water.
I'm hanging up now.
Deservedly so.
I really want to like this fishing simulator. I will say, because of what I played was a demo, it was so incredibly like lacking in what you could experience. The elements are there. There were a ton of different maps, but you could only play on the one because it's a demo. There's clearly supposed to be shops and like customizable tackle boxes, but you can only play with what's there because it's a demo. So it was really limiting in what you could experience for what it is. But it does give me hope that there could be some really cool stuff added later down the road when this actually comes out.
Yeah, because we should be clear right now. We just have our hands on a demo. This mm-hmm. isn't even an a early preview. Access yet.
A preview of a demo. Yeah. So there's still there's still a lot of wiggle room for making a really awesome fishing game. I will say, and I sent Joe screenshots of this game, and yeah, I was like,
pretty game.
It is one of the prettiest fishing games I have ever seen. It's not flawless, but man, they just really knocked it out of the park with the environment for the level I got to see. However, in the state of the demo, a controller does not work. And we already know that I'm the first person to bitch that mouse and keyboard is not my friend. I have arthritis, blah, blah, blah. So the controller not working properly was a pain in the ass. And I do hope that's something that they fix down the road. As it was, I was using my controller in my left hand to move around and my mouse with the right to control the camera, but you also do the actual fishing with the mouse, which was kind of odd, but at least it wasn't a keyboard command because those are the ones that are harder for me to do. I will also point out, I don't think the fish bite in the demo. I sat forever. There were fish jumping all around me. You can use an underwater camera, which might be the coolest aspect of this game, by the way. You can press U, and you get a camera attached to your bait, and you can just look around the bait and see if they're cool. Even... And when you do, like, you get the audio of being underwater. So, like, you can hear the water splashing, and then just the bubbly sounds of water. It's so cool! But nothing ever bit my line. Ever. I could drop it right where the fish was at, and nothing would happen. They were swarming around me. They were swarming around my bait. Nothing ever bit anything. So there's definitely a need for early access and some work. But because it was a demo, I don't want to hold it against it. No.
It is a free demo on Steam, yeah. So should we take the bait?
I would just wait and see what happens with early access. Like, if you can tell everything you want to know about this game just from looking at screenshots without having to actually download the demo, because the demo was so limiting and just wouldn't let you do anything.
So, just we'll keep our eyes on it. When it hits early access, we will take another look at it. For now, it is very, very pretty.
It is. It's really pretty. And that underwater camera element, that's super cool. And I'd like to see what they do with that.
I might grab the demo just to check out that underwater cam. Yeah. And to see if I could catch something, because you can't.
I could. I don't know. Like, listen, y'all, I play a lot of fishing games. I don't know why. I fucking love fishing games. I will sit in a fishing game for like 3 straight days, going for the biggest motherfucker on the lake. So I have really high hopes for this one, but I'm going to need something to bite first.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode.
Speedrun stats.
Made it through another one. Thanks to Jacob for being here, doing his thing.
Nah, fuck Jacob.
Well, music, you talking with Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe and saying how Poe is just a dickhead reminds me of my musician friend named Poe, just P-O. Uh-huh. And I feel horrible that you've been shit-talking Poe this entire episode, so I'm going to play some Poe to end the show.
And now we go. We'll be right back.